Welcome to Brain Power with Dr. Echo, where each week we discuss how your family can boost brain health by addressing mind, body, emotional, and environmental health. And now, here's the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Brain Power with Dr. Echo. I have an amazing guest today, Dr. Fernandez. She's a pediatric neurologist and she is simply amazing. So, without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Dr. Fernandez.
Thank you, Dr. Ito. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So, please tell our listeners all about the amazing work that you do to help.
Yeah, I'm just going to introduce what I do because a lot of times when you say pediatric neurologist, people are like, what is that? Did someone say urology? So
No.
I have to. So it's by instinct, I like to get into, what I do. So we are child brain doctors, and most people don't understand that children can actually have a lot of brain developmental issues. And the very common things I see are seizures, headaches. These days, headaches more than seizures, actually. Seizures used to be a big part of my clinic, but since the pandemic, I've seen such a huge rise in the number of headaches and in all age groups, starting with small toddlers all the way up to, teenagers and older. So I think that's a big part of what I do. Other than that, of course, developmental issues like developmental delays, concurrent HD autism. So we see a lot of children with autism and seizures. So it's a very interesting place with a lot of multitude of things we do, and I love what I do.
Isn't that the key? You better love
Yeah.
what you do for sure. Because if you want to find something that you can do that doesn't feel like work, and so that way you're giving your very best, right? So I want to talk about something you said real quick. You said that since the pandemic, you've seen headaches, the rise of headaches in younger and younger children. So is there any research around why that's happening? And if yes, what is it? And what can parents do to help their kids?
Yeah, so that's very interesting that you ask. I think most of the research leads us to one spot where, they were basically disconnected from their routine. So a lot of times when you are disrupted from your routine, you don't get enough sleep, you're not eating the right things, you're snacking throughout the day. So, that forms the foundation of everything to do with brain health, which is diet, sleep.
Right.
And then throw into that, the fact that they were on screens throughout the day. Parents had to keep them on screens even to keep them occupied because they couldn't leave the house, not having that social structure, not being able to play outside. So all of those things are contribution to, what we are probably seeing right now. So in addition to, of course, some of them have had COVID and they've had the infection. So there's some kind of, inflammatory component to it as well. But I think a large part of it is really disruption of routine, leads to where we are. And so, parents can really help by getting their child back into a routine. Routine really helps children when they know, what time they have to eat, what time they have to sleep, and sort of getting them back in that routine is the first step to help.
And decrease screen time.
Oh, yes.
Believe it or not, the screen doesn't teach
Yes.
your kids. You teach your kids. And your
That is
kids learn from using their senses, right? Not
true.
from watching TV.
That is true. Yeah.
And something else I wanted to ask about that you mentioned, you said you see a lot of kids with seizures and with autism. And I know that particular combination can be really severe and really give parents a lot of concern. So let's talk some more about that.
Yeah, so firstly, it's very important for parents whose children have autism to be able to, one, accept the diagnosis so that the child can get the right care. And I see a lot of parents because, when the pediatrician has made the diagnosis of autism, oftentimes they have questions and they're like, we want to see the brain doctor. And so when they come to us, we don't have anything else to offer because ideally it's based off of symptoms, signs that this diagnosis of autism is. And once you know a child has a diagnosis of autism, it's really not a disease, but it's really a type of behavior. They are just different in their type of behavior. So you have to handle them in a specific way. So
Right.
we recommend, getting them into behavioral therapy sooner. So having a diagnosis helps with that. Now, 30% of our children with autism have seizure disorder, epilepsy. And so it's very, very common that we have an overlap. And in our children with seizures now, obviously, they have difficulty taking their seizure medicines. So, you know, parents have to find different loopholes, mixing those medicines with like, you know, liquids that they like. I even had a parent like put it in a Fruit Loop, like their medicine in a Fruit Loop and make them eat. So it's very, very challenging, I would say, to have the combination. And so when we have epilepsy, I think it's very important for parents to know that there are different modalities of treatment.
Yes.
So most of us neurologists will touch upon that. One of them is medications. One of them is, you know, ketogenic diet. And then, of course, the more advanced treatments are surgery and devices.
Right.
So that's how it is.
Okay. So usually by the time we see the kids are already on medication for seizures and the parents are asking, so what else can I do with my child? Or I've heard about the ketogenic diet and I've heard that it helps my child. So how exactly am I going to start a ketogenic diet in a child that's a picky eater and also has autism? So you may or may not be able to communicate why you're changing their diet. And if their diet is already restricted, then that's a whole nother barrier, right? So walk us through what you would say to a parent like that.
Yeah. So I think here it is based on how severe the autism is. If you have a child who's a high-functioning autism, you can actually work with them some. But if you have a child who's more in the moderate or severe category, then it becomes pretty challenging because you have to know what your child likes to eat. Most children with autism are eaters, so it becomes a little difficult. Now, ketogenic diet typically has different types or variations, you would say. So you have your classic ketogenic diet, which is where you take up to 90-95% of your diet is just fats, okay? Now, if your child loves butter, loves cream cheese, loves heavy cream, bacon, so if your child likes all this, then you're in a good spot. It's a win-win because all that is fatty, you know, heavy fatty foods. Another option is, you know, those children who are drinking milk or who are younger, we do have diet formulations, so that can be introduced. But otherwise, having a nutritionist really helps because they can help to match with your kid's palate some. If that doesn't work, then you have other variations where you have a low glycemic index, you know, treatment or LGIT diet, or you have the modified Atkins. And that is just a variation of the amount of carbohydrate. So like I said, you know, where classic ketogenic diet is like 90% fat, then you have just 4% of carbohydrates and rest is all protein. With the other diets, you can allow a little more carbohydrates. So your amount is a little more, but you're still maintaining low glucose. What I would recommend is working with a provider, not trying to do this on your own, but working with a provider or a nutritionist to help you, because this will then, you know, move you forward. If you're looking at it as a treatment for seizures, don't look at just diet as the sole and just stop all the medicines. Mm. That doesn't help either. You know, it has to be a balance. Everything in medicine is about a balance. So we do want less side effects, but we want benefits also. That's what I would recommend.
Absolutely. And when you say work with the provider, so for me, I'm an integrated pediatrician and I do testing to see what's really going on with the child. So instead of just blindly in the dark taking things out of the diet or adding things in, you want to work with somebody who can figure out, well, is your child sensitive to something that even could be the trigger the seizures? And if that's the case, you want to take that out while we craft a personalized like diet plan for your child. So I'm glad you said that, because you definitely don't want to stop the meds. You want to do both at the same time. And then work with your doctors to see if maybe the meds can be decreased, especially if they are side effects. So,
I think you bring up a very important point, you know, with especially children who have chronic illnesses like epilepsy. When we talk about medications, when we talk about diet, you know, always most of us providers are open to discussion before we move forward, you know. And if you don't feel comfortable, you don't trust your physician, you can always change and find somebody that you feel, you know, can trust you. But definitely having a discussion with your provider, because our knowledge base where we are coming from and wanting to provide this is only for the family. You know, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're really doing it for the family. So I'm glad you brought that.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So you mentioned low glycemic, and somebody might say, what in the world is that? So can you explain what goes low glycemic index? What kinds of foods fall into that category?
Yeah. So I think it's also coming up as a, you know, more of a fad now. A lot of people doing this sort of low glycemic. So there are foods which don't spike your glucose throughout the day, you know, and they are more complex carbohydrates, really easy things that we eat, things that is in everybody's diet mostly, starting with oatmeal in the morning, doing, you know, sort of rice or wheat bread in the afternoon. But again, we are not talking about ketogenic, but we're not talking about that aspect of things, because there you're going to cut down a lot on the carbohydrates and you're going to keep really fatty diet. But at the same time, bearing in mind that these, you're not giving intermittent bursts of sugar to increase the amount of sugar in the bloodstream, right? So you're maintaining a certain amount of glucose in the bloodstream. And that is essentially that idea of low glycemic index. Where it gets messed up for a lot of us is we end up eating so much of processed sugar. If you look at all the cereals on the store, in the store, full of processed sugar, and you're creating a huge spike in the baby's blood, right? Or the child's blood. So spike of glucose. So it's very important for us to be mindful to start getting into that habit of reading the labels, check the amount of sugars there are. And I just started doing that a few years ago and I'm so surprised. I'm yet to find a good granola with low amount of sugar.
Hey, you can make it yourself.
I know. I have started doing that.
I know. Me too. Same thing happens to me. I started reading names. I was like, wait, did I just see fructose at the top and then corn syrup? So now they're splitting instead of high fructose corn syrup. Now everybody says don't do it. So now you see fructose and then corn syrup in the other end. You're like, oh, wait.
Yeah, these are all those marketing strategies. And when you start getting educated about this, which is, you know, the goal of much of what we do in terms of your podcast as well, I feel like so phenomenal where you've been giving these tips. It's all really good at
So you mentioned that there are several kinds of ketogenic diet, right? Depending on the child. How do you determine which diet goes with which child?
Yeah.
I know we can be here for another hour discussing how we determine that. But just as a broad overview for parents who are curious about, okay, so now you just mentioned three things. How do we determine which one is which? And again, before, as I'm asking that question, I'm reminding parents, remember, she said you need to work with somebody who knows what they're actually doing, but just so that you can have a discussion with your provider. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when you have epilepsy, ideally the classic ketogenic diet is what you need, because classic ketogenic diet is a treatment. You're basically forcing the body to think it is in starvation. Okay. And when your body goes into starvation, it conserves all that energy and it reduces that hyperexcitability, which is happening right? So basically how I like to tell families is you're moving your fuel for your brain from being glucose to being ketones, or ketones are a byproduct of fat for everybody to understand. So basically you're moving that fuel. No, like in your car, your petrol, diesel, so you change the fuel. So it's just like you change the fuel of your brain to ketones.
Yeah.
So children with seizures, typically a good, strong ketogenic diet would be very, very helpful. Now there you have to be monitored. You have to be admitted. It's good to have your epilepsy doctor, neurology, your integrative medicine doctor, you know, everybody working together, your nutritionist. So sort of everybody needs to work together. We check labs very often. And not everybody meets criteria to start ketogenic diet, because there are some bodies which don't have the right chemicals to break down fat. So in those bodies, they cannot be put through a ketogenic diet. Their body is going to start breaking down. Yeah. So we have to be very careful with the type of children that start ketogenic diet. Then the other aspect is the low glycemic index or modified Atkins diet. Now that can be, you can work with your nutritionist and your primary care provider to actually implement that. You don't need lab work for that. You don't need to follow labs for that as such in terms of monitoring. But a classic ketogenic diet, definitely. So classic ketogenic is for epilepsy. The others are helpful in children who have migraines and you're trying to move towards, you know, more of a headache management. then you could use a gluten-free diet. You can use, anti-inflammatory diet, which is like Mediterranean, Indian food, African food has a lot of anti-inflammatory components to it.
Right.
And lastly, modified Atkins diet. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that for parents, so they have some idea when they're having the discussion with their providers, because it's good for us. It's good for parents to be informed about the discussions. And I always tell parents, if you don't understand, ask them to explain it to you. Don't just accept whatever they say if you don't understand what they're saying. So, and don't be afraid to do that, because you're your child's first and best advocate. So
true.
Speak up and ask when you have to go see like the neurologist or any specialist you're seeing, especially if your child has both seizures and autism together. So thank you for all that you've shared. Do you have any last tips on any last brain health tips for our kids?
Sure. Yeah. So I think, with children, definitely sleep. I would say sleep is so, so important. So, if parents can work with their children on making sure that they get at least 8 to 9 hours of rest, it really helps the brain with development. It helps the brain with just clearing all that debris, and it prevents future diseases like Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's. We're seeing a lot of correlation with lack of sleep. So sleep for both parents and their children, very important.
Yes, I like that you made that last point, that you're seeing there's a correlation between lack of sleep and Alzheimer's. And parents, we may think, okay, we're young, Alzheimer's is down the road, but there's so much evidence to show that it actually starts in our early, like with what the habits we have and the not sleeping and all of that. And I know that's a whole nother topic, but yes, stay tuned for that.
Prevention is better than cure. We've
correct. Yeah. So parents, don't put it off. It's important for you to do what you need to do to enhance your sleep as well as your child. So thank you so much again, Dr. Fernandez. And before we go, can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yeah.
Find out more about you.
Yeah. So please do share my link. I'm CC underscore Fern on Instagram. I practice in Atrium Health in Charlotte, China. So you can find me there. And I'm happy to take care of your kid.
Yes, thanks. Wonderful. Yes, please go see her if you're in the state of North Carolina in Charlotte. So thank you again. And please share this episode with any members of family, of your family or friends that need to hear about this. So have an amazing day. Until the next episode, take care.